Thank you, Father. Let's get into the Word of God. I feel that anointing. I thought to teach, but this anointing has been following me here lately, coming up on me. He starts to flow through me and goes in and begin to tear some things down, replace it with some other things from the image of Christ into our lives. Romans chapter 12, picking up, passing a little bit in review from the last time that I was here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. That was only a couple of weeks ago. I'm sure you can remember Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You know, if you stick with me long enough, your Bible will just fall open there. You won't even have to look for it. You won't even have to have that special one with the index thumb, you know, the deals there. It'll just fall open if you hang around me long enough. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. And notice that it said and, meaning two separate things. Two separate things. I used to read it all together. I somehow had this figured out that it was all one thing, and it is one thought, but he's talking about two separate things here. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And we've talked about that. I know that you, as much as I, would like to know the perfect will of God for your life. More than anything, you'd like to be able that other people see that it be proven without you saying anything or without you standing and self-exalting yourself or bragging about it, but that the perfect will of God was in operation and manifestation in your life, and everybody could tell it, including especially the sinners, the people of this world, that they would see something because of the perfect will of God operating in your life. They would see something there that they wanted. They wouldn't come out, you wouldn't go up to them and them give you an answer like, well, I don't see anything in your life that I really would like to have. You know, just because when you pray, you roll around the floor, you know, and you hit one wall to another, I don't see really anything that I would like to have in your life. I know that you wouldn't want that. That what you would want is just like me, that whenever you come in contact with the world or those that are needing help, those that are needing a touch from God, that they don't have to ask, they don't have to look for it, but the perfect will of God is being proven in your life. It's showing up. It's manifesting. It's coming on out of the inside onto the outside, and people are able to see it. It's not hidden under a basket. I know that's what you would like. And since you would like that, then we can proceed just a little bit farther. Amen? Because that's what I want, is that the perfect will of God be manifested in my life. But he says, before he talks about being proven the perfect will of God in your life, the good, acceptable, and perfect will, he says this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, meaning that it's attainable, meaning that you can do it. Isn't that good to know that God didn't give you some instruction and give you something to do that you couldn't do, that wasn't attainable? Isn't it good to know that? You know, I thank Him that I have a God that not only can show me what His call is for my life, but He can show me how to get there. He can take me on the trip and that I can actually get there. Because I remember when I first got born again in Spirit-filled, I wasn't quite sure. I wasn't quite sure. I thought, boy, this looks good, and I know that it's all for me, but how do I get there? And it was quite some time before I began to get some answers to that, and didn't get all the answers right away. But he says, it's your reasonable service, that it's attainable. Then he goes on and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed and renewed in your mind. In other words, leave the old man behind. Bury him. Don't dig him up. Don't resurrect him. Don't be conformed back to that world that you came out of. You have a new born-again spirit inside you. Don't go back to the old ways. Continue walking forward, being renewed and transformed. Now, we could go into this, and we probably will just a little bit tonight, but I really want to focus on verse 1 tonight. He wouldn't let me off of it. I tried to go, you know, and look for something else. You know, because I knew as soon as I brought up a certain subject, attention level would go down. I'd have to talk louder, get stronger. So verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now I always thought, well, that's fine and dandy. I would like to do that. I see that there. But I would like to know just how. And I had trouble at times. I thought, you know, a living sacrifice, that in itself sounds real dangerous. You know, and the word holy, boy, that really scared me. Because I wasn't very holy then. Still haven't arrived. Working on it. But even at that time, I didn't even know how to work on it. At least now I know the route to take to work on it. But at that time, you know, it's like, boy, those are scary thoughts, thinking about those things. How am I supposed to go about that? You know, and I'd like to be renewed and transformed. I don't like the way I am. You know, you ask most homosexuals, even though they're pretty well deceived in every area, you know, they still don't like where they're at. Thank God that He's been setting some of them free and getting them on the right track here lately. We've seen some in some meetings that are getting free and then staying free. Of course, we've had to counsel close and get every bit of the Word of God at every chance we could into them, but we're seeing some walk out of it. Walk out of it. Give Jesus all the glory for that. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what circumstances you're in, what's captivated your life and put you behind bars, you can be free. You can be free. You can walk out of it intentionally because you want to. Not just by accident. You can take the Word of God and the principles of God and walk out of where you're at. You can change your world just because you want to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that just enabled me to take it just a little step farther. To offer yourself a living sacrifice. Offer yourself unto death, but yet you live. Well, that in itself is a scary thought. I thought, my, how am I ever going to do that? But yet it's in the Word of God, and it says, you know, I wasn't really no dummy. You know, it said, your reasonable service. Well, you know, if it hadn't have said your reasonable service, I probably, you know, could have excused it away. You know, somewhat. Well, it didn't say reasonable service, so this must be for those preachers that I know of. There's just one problem with that. Every part of the Word of God is for you to receive the fullness of God, His perfect will and everything included in it. Everything for your life. Every part of the Word of God is for you as a believer, no matter what your function or what your call is in the body of Christ. And you get to make a choice. Good, acceptable, and perfect will. 30, 60, and 100-fold. A little bit of God, a little more God, or a lot of God, or all of God. A servant, or even going into a slave. You get to make the choice. See, the kingdom of God is choices. Jesus said, I chose you and appointed you that you bear much fruit. The part that you get to make the choice in is if you choose to accept the work that He done on the cross on your behalf and get born again and washed clean with His blood. Of all of your past, of all of your sins. The choice you get to make is whether you want to go beyond the cross into the resurrection power. Whether you want to go on farther into God. You get to make choices, healing, miracles, speaking in other tongues. Not necessarily in that order. There's just choices you get to make. You get to make the choice of leaving those things behind like your old denomination did, or walking forward. You get to make a choice whether you want to die unto yourself and live for Christ and let Christ live through you and flow through you and His image be projected out to others. You get to make the choice. I get to make the choice. He's very much of a gentleman. He won't push it on you. If you want 30-fold and just part of it, He'll eventually leave you alone and leave you there. Now, He'll come visiting your house occasionally to see if you want to take it beyond 30-fold into 60-fold and then 100-fold. He'll come visiting, checking to see if that hunger is great enough, that desire is great enough for you to go forward. But see, you get to make the choice. He provided all of it. All you have to do is choose. So then that reminds me of a certain set of scriptures in Matthew chapter 4. If you could turn with me there. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Because, see, I wanted to know, how do I offer myself a living sacrifice, offering myself unto death, but yet I live, and it's my reasonable service, where then I can take the Word of God, the principles in the Word of God, and begin to renew and transform myself out of the world and the ways of the world and the things I brought in with me to the kingdom of God. I don't know whether you know it or not, or you noticed it when you got born again, but you came into the kingdom of God dragging a few things with you. I know I did. In fact, I drug in more than I originally thought. Originally, I didn't think I'd drug in that much with me. The farther I go into Him, the more that I knew that I brought in with me to the kingdom of God, and the more I hate them and want to get rid of them and change things and transform out of them. Thank God He sent me a helper called the Holy Spirit. Because I certainly couldn't have done it myself. I certainly couldn't have done it by myself. But He sent me a helper called the Holy Spirit that would come in and help me. Help me offer myself as a living sacrifice, which is my reasonable service. He didn't leave me stranded without any way to go. He even included a prayer language that I could begin in this process. While I was offering myself a living sacrifice, I could begin to get the mind of God and the perfect plan of God and every part of it in my life by praying in other tongues, praying the mind of Christ down into my life, transforming me and changing me and bringing into play, step by step, little by little, the plan of God. See, you can't do any of it without the Holy Spirit being in on it. You can't, even what we're about to talk about, you can't do it without the Holy Spirit being involved in it and get anywhere and accomplish anything. You just can't do it. You can't be renewed and transformed in your mind and out of this world without the Holy Spirit being involved. Now, you might decide, well, my denomination doesn't believe it, doesn't believe in praying in other tongues, but I'm born again. Well, you just accepted one thing in the Word of God. You accepted one thing in the kingdom of God, and you made a choice that you didn't want to go into the fullness of God, is what you done when you made that decision. But thank God everybody here made a decision to go a different direction, into the fullness of God, regardless of what it takes. That's your reasonable service, that you can go ahead and do it because you choose and you want to, because you want more of God. You're like me. You can't be satisfied with just a little bit. Amen. You can't be satisfied. You can't stop where you're at with 10-fold or 30-fold. You can't do it. You want to go farther. You want everything of God that you can get. And you want to take everything in the Word of God to make those changes necessary to begin that walk into Him farther and farther and farther. Amen? Amen. Well, then I'm on the right track. Hallelujah. I can take it a little bit farther. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Says, then Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. I can tell you that that's exactly the case. Amen. The Holy Spirit led him up into the wilderness on a fast, 40 days and 40 nights. In verse 3, now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Well, see there, brother, I don't have to fast because he used the word of God to defeat the devil. When the devil came in and tempted him by saying, "Turn these stones into bread that you might eat and satisfy that hunger." In other words, give over, give in to your flesh. See there, brother, he took the word of God, "I don't have to fast." There's just one problem. Sometimes when you and I speak the word of God, we'd like to think that we're a mighty man of faith and woman of faith. Okay, I won't go that route. I won't add to it. We'd like to think that we're a mighty man of faith or woman of faith. And when we speak the word of God, it works. And it is supposed to work. But have you noticed that occasionally maybe once in a great while it doesn't work whenever you speak the word of God? Maybe the devil doesn't fall back when you tell him to? Maybe the prayer that you uttered out of your mouth hasn't been answered in 10 years? Have you noticed that? See, I've noticed it. You might as well notice it. You might as well get gut level with God. I told you that the last time. That's your first step out of where you're at. You don't have to stay where you're at. So you got doubt and unbelief in your life. Acknowledge it and then get it out. Just maybe you don't believe in miracles like you thought you did. You believe in them, but just maybe in there's some doubt and unbelief that keeps you from receiving your miracle. Then maybe you need to go in and let the Holy Spirit begin to get it out. Well, brother, you know, he used the word of God. Yes, he did. He also fasted 40 days and nights. When the devil came to tempt him physically in the flesh realm, when the devil came to tempt him, he used the word of God to defeat the devil. After fasting 40 days and nights, he used the word of God. After fasting 40 days and nights. Well, brother, I don't feel led to fast. You won't feel led to fast as long as you don't listen to the Holy Spirit in that area. Because the Holy Spirit has told me, I asked Him, I said, "You know, they're gonna be thinking this. What do you want me to say?" He said, "The reason they're not led to fast is because they haven't listened to me." Honey, back the car up at the back door. We'll take that exit right over there. You know, sometimes we'll get to asking the Holy Spirit, "You know, I need a new business idea. I need to make more money for the kingdom. I need to make more money for my household. I need a new business idea." And we'll seek Him and we'll seek Him. I want to be led by You. I know, because I've been there. But when it comes to fasting, putting to death things in the flesh, you know, where we can walk out of that 30-fold and make that trip into 60-fold. That's a bad word. I think I'll just use the Word of God. Well, you can use the Word of God. But if you'll take some fasting in that fleshly realm, push away from that table, begin to bring your flesh under subjection through fasting and through the power of the Holy Spirit, then the word that you speak will have more effect on the devil and what he's trying to do for you. But if you'll open up your ears, you can be led to fast. Do I have to fast 40 days and nights? No. No. Make 24 hours. Just make 24 hours to begin with. You know, but eventually try to get to that 7 days maybe. You know, you'll get there. What matters is whether you start or not. Whether you make that decision to start and then whether you act upon it. You can talk about it from here until the time Jesus raptures us. But until you begin to act on it, it will not put into effect those positional standings that He gained for you and gave to you. That mortification, that death putting the flesh to death, a living sacrifice in the physical area where your flesh doesn't dictate to you what you do the next day, where your flesh doesn't dictate to you whether you go into farther into God or not. Many, many believers are stopped by their flesh from going farther into God. Hey, this is only step one. This is only step one. This is the low level. This is the low level stuff, talking about the flesh and what fasting does to the flesh. And as you begin to fast, you begin to offer yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Remember once again, you cannot do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. So you might as well ask Him to lead you. Go ahead and ask Him to lead you into this fast. And while you're at it, would you be with me while I'm in this fast? You know, whenever my stomach starts doing flips, would you be with me? When those headaches from all that coffee and Coke begin to come in, and you can't even see around you, you're so blinded. Ask Him to be with you. You might as well. That's what He's there for. He's a helper. The Holy Spirit. He's there to help you offer yourself a living sacrifice. Well, I don't know whether I want to go into fasting or not. Well, it's in the Word of God. If you don't believe that it's in the Word of God, you better watch out. Somebody, you have the capacity in you for somebody to talk you out of your salvation. Because the same book, salvation, healing, miracles, and filling of the Holy Spirit, all are in this book, the same place fasting is. And He took every approach. And this first temptation here came in the flesh. This victory that Jesus gained for you and delivered to you was victory in the physical realm, in the body, in the flesh. If you're having trouble with lust in your flesh, ask the Holy Spirit to help you and begin to go in and some fasting. Put that lust to death. If you have a wicked tongue that talks too much to the wrong people, ask Him to help you to put that to death, to change that in your life. Those fleshly things. If your eyes wander in the wrong direction, men, go into a fast and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to put those things to death, to put that old man down and cover him up once and for all. Glory to God. Don't worry, we'll get off that subject and go to another one. But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Him up into the holy city and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, "If you're the Son of God..." Now, for those of you that might not think that Tulsa has so much to offer to believers and Christians, the devil came and with Jesus and sat down in the holy city. That must mean He might be here in Tulsa even. So then the devil took Him up into the holy city and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your feet against a stone." Jesus said to Him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Well, then whenever you begin to fast and put that flesh to death, the next thing that's going to arouse up in you is some emotions. You're going to begin to think that everybody's against you. They don't like you. You don't even like yourself. And now you've realized it. Going into a fast, dealing with the emotional realm, with the soulish realm, those things there that have been there for a long, long time. That big rat that's built a barricade in a closet in your life. Self-exaltation, depression, oppression. Things that you've accepted as a way of life. Things in your emotional realm. They don't like me. Everybody's against me. Say, how do you know? Because I've been there. That's what allows me to preach it. It's because I've been there. You begin to go into a fast. One of the biggest things that you're going to be dealing with is your emotions. But the victory that He gave out on the other side, the positional standing, is that you can turn those emotions. You can turn them. I used to think, well, let's just jerk them out. Let's just be done with them, you know. It don't work that way. See this right here that Jesus accomplished for you. This victory that He gave to you works right in with Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Transformed and be renewed in your mind. Turn those emotions in a different direction. Turn them that the glory of God, that God can receive the glory because you chose to take a stand and begin to apply a principle in the Word of God. I thought this was a praying church. I thought that you were a praying evangelist. I am. And I like fasting too. I don't like it, but I like what it delivers unto me. And worship, and the Word of God, meditation, all of them principles in the Word of God. Why would you shortchange yourself? Why would you walk into 30 when you can have 60 and 100? Why? Why would you settle for servant status when you can have slave status? Could you demonstrate to me a slave status? Sure. Keeping my mouth shut and going about the Master's business. Oh yeah, we were talking about fasting. So then you began to go in to do some fasting. First of all, 24 hours. Then maybe 3 days or maybe a week eventually. We won't even talk about the 40 days right now. I don't feel led. I'm having a good time. In case you haven't figured it out, I'm having a good time. You might as well have a good time with me because you'll make me feel bad. If you don't have a good time with me, you'll make me feel bad. You say, well, Jesus fasted for me. Yes, He fasted 40 days and night and met the devil on every turn. Body, soul, and spirit. Defeated Him, turned around, and said, everything that the Father has given to me, every victory, every standing, everything that He's given to me, I give it unto you. It's just one problem. I don't have it manifested fully in my life, so what do I do, brother? Begin to do what Jesus laid out in the Word of God to do, to activate it in your life. To get it going in your life, to take another step farther. There's no condemnation coming from me if you can't make it for 40 days or you can't make it for a week. Just start! Because see, He wants you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, right now, where you're at. He wants it to start right now, that when you get later on down the road and the enemy comes and he starts saying things like, they don't like your message. It's not any good. And he convinces you in the soulish realm. He convinces you in your emotions to start calling people all over the United States and out of the country, calling your tapes back in because they weren't any good. And he gets you almost talked into it. And then you go to your pastor and you say, I have this urge to call all of my tapes in. They're not any good. And he laughs at you and says, oh, you met that devil too. Why not go ahead right now and begin to activate the Word of God in your life, begin to activate those principles in your life that you can walk in that position.
that positional standing that He freely gave you that you cannot earn. It's not a matter of works. It's a choice. It's a decision. How far do you want to go into God? How far do you want to walk out of the flesh and out of being controlled and dictated to by your emotions where you can walk in to the fullness of God? How far do you want to go?
I know I have a different ministry than Gary, Brother Gary. I know that. Believe me, I've already talked to God about it. His answer was this: you do what you're supposed to do, Gary will do what he's supposed to do, and the body of Christ will be blessed and they'll walk into more of God each day. Amen. Glory to God. So, Gary, I'm going to continue doing what I do. See, some people, when you get to preaching or teaching on fasting, they immediately, well, he's got this doctrine where he's locked up and he's strictly fasting this, fasting that. No, I pray in other tongues a lot more than I fast. In fact, there's no sense in you going into fasting if you're not going to pray in tongues and get in the Word of God and begin to meditate and confess the Word of God. Because remember, Word, people. Jesus defeated the devil with the Word of God. But He didn't intend for you to leave out fasting. He intended for you to... Oh, hallelujah. He intended for you to take every part of the Word of God and begin to use it on your own life. That the image of Christ, that the fullness of God, that the perfect will of God can be proven in your own life. Let's go back to the devil and Jesus. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve.'" Oh, you mean I'm not called to serve a big church with humongous members? Well, maybe. It just depends on whether it's Jesus' decision or you selling out in the spiritual realm and giving over to that deceitfulness of riches and a prestige of being before the largest church around and anywhere or something like that. And here's another realm that Jesus went in and defeated the devil and turned around and gave that victory over to you, that whenever you begin to walk into God, when you begin to walk into God and the devil comes because Jesus has exalted you, the devil comes and says, "Would you like to sell out?" How about enough money for you to quit preaching the honest, true, and pure Word of God? How about if you water it down just a little bit where we can increase the numbers? Fill the church, build a bigger one. After all, you know, that will do the most good in the kingdom of God is building a bigger church. Why don't you forget those tongues? Because you run a lot of people off of those tongues, and we could increase the membership if you will water down just a little bit and take out speaking in other tongues. Oh, and then by the way, since you gave into that, why don't you go ahead and denounce that maybe healing and miracles is just a thing of the mind? No, when you go in, you begin to fast, pray in other tongues, and speak the Word of God. Become transformed and renewed in your mind through this process. Offering yourself a living sacrifice that you don't like where you're at, and you want everything in you that's hidden that you don't even know about. You want it exposed and brought out on the open where you can chop its head off. When you begin to do that through fasting, prayer, and the Word of God, and worship, confession, You begin to apply the principles in the Word of God to your life. Then later on down the road, when the tempter comes, and believe me, no matter how big one of us might get, the tempter will come. The tempter will come in the flesh, in the emotions. 39 days into a fast. Honey, I got a problem. Nobody likes me. I feel terrible. I'm at my wit's end. I think I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. I think I need to quit this fast right now. I know I was going for 40 days, but we're 2/3 into the 39th day, and I think it'd be a good time to quit. Can you help me reason this out? Well, no, I've never been there. I don't have any answers. Maybe you ought to go see your pastor. Fasting 3 days. First 3 days. This doesn't do any good. All I have is a headache real bad. My stomach feels like it's part of Barnum & Bailey Circus. My tongue feels terrible. I can't sleep. Did I say my head hurt? Real bad. Real bad. I don't think fasting's doing any good. I think I need to stop. I don't think fasting's doing any good. Whoever preached this, they got to realize that actually Jesus defeated the devil with the Word of God. It had nothing to do with fasting. In fact, I know of a lady that just fasted the evening meal and she called it good, so I think that's what I'll do. Just fast the evening meal. That way I can have a double breakfast and a double lunch if I fast the evening meal. I'm really not. I'm just sharing experiences. You know. Brother, do you like to fast? No, I don't like to. My flesh especially don't like to. But I like the results of it. 50 pounds lighter. Seriously, 50 pounds, 60 pounds lighter. 60. Got tired one day. Daisy spoke something to me. I got really tired. Vicious cycle. She said, you got to break the vicious cycle. Go on to a fast, gain back the 20 that I lost on the fast, gain 20 more. Got to break the vicious cycle. Can't do this. At 5'8½", I can't be 245 pounds and live very long. I can't finish what He's called me to do because I've been cut short from too much weight carrying around, hard on the heart, stuff like that. I won't fast. I can't put to die. I just got to share this. I remember one of the first fasts before I ever even came to Tulsa. One of the first fasts, I got in the middle of it. I think I went about 25 days or something like that. It was not the first one, but it was one of the, say, first three, somewhere along there. Got about 25 days into it, and I still had this thing hanging on to me that it wasn't that I felt like I was going to hell because of it. I just wanted rid of it. Boy, 2 cans of Skoal a day. You know, I didn't smoke any cigarettes, but I did have that Skoal. I had the ring on my pocket and everything. You know, I really wanted to get rid of it. But I knew that it was something inside me, you know, because I could tell when it was, you know, when I would respond to that Skoal can was when I could feel some mounting pressure on the inside, stuff like that. You know, and even in this fast, you know, and I'd already, like I said, already went through 2 short fasts. Got into this one. Some were about halfway into it. I've just been pulling on the throne of God because when I was born again and set free, born again, I was set free of alcohol immediately. I didn't have to fight that battle. But this skull just kept hanging on, you know. I just couldn't get away from it. About halfway through that third fast, I don't know what happened. I just know that I reached for it, got sicker than a dog. Haven't picked it up since. You say, well, was it getting sick that caused it? No. No, He made an adjustment. I got free on the inside, emotionally in the soulish realm. I got free on the inside. Something deep anchored in my soul that caused me to respond to that skull can. I got free from it. Broke that hole. Now, I'm not condemning you if you dip skull. Don't take that. Take this as instruction. Take this that you can do the same thing. You can do the same thing if you want to. So then, you start fasting. You take about 3 days. You finally work up to 3 days. Took a little while. You took some 24-hour ones. Finally worked up to where you accomplished 3 days. Barely got over the headache and then you quit. You know, third day headaches. Barely got over it. Then you quit. You know. Then finally you work up to maybe 5 days, taking some days off in between. Then finally a week. But see, the farther you go, you're executing that standing that Jesus gave you in every realm of your life. And those emotional things, those things in there that are actually lying there all along, they just come alive. During this time when you begin to subject yourself to a principle, a spiritual law in the Word of God, when you begin to subject yourself to it, all of a sudden they come up where you can see them and everybody else around you can see them too. But what better time to begin to put them to death right then than the whole world seeing them later on down the road? Why not take that self-exalting thing that's inside you that keeps coming up, and you don't want to see it any more than anybody else? In fact, you hate it when it comes up. You go into your prayer closet and you call upon God and you cry upon God. You want rid of it. Why not take some time and begin to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, through prayer, and invoke some fasting in your life that you can get rid of that thing and come out on the other side free, and on top of it, a little bit more of anointing on your life. How about it? How about it that you want to invoke fasting as a part of your life, a principle in the Word of God? You want to take it and apply it to your life that you can't be talked out of praying in tongues. All of a sudden, later on down the road, you decide that this praying in tongues does no good. Why even be confronted with that? Why even give in a little bit? Why even listen to anything like that? How about taking fasting, invoking it in your life a little bit at a time, along with the Word of God, along with confession, along with prayer, that you can get rid of any capacity that might be there to get cheated out of something, to get shortchanged in your life later on down the road? You say, are you talking to preachers? No, I'm talking to believers. Glory to God. Believers that want that believer's ministry, that when you walk into the presence of a devil, all of a sudden it either has to come out or it doesn't want to be in the same room with you. You think that you can just do that by shouting at the top of your lungs. No, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that's able to work through you because you chose to sit down, take time, pray, fast, worship, confess the Word of God, call in the law. We'll just get it all in there, Gary, while we're at it. That's what I'm here for, to get it all in there. Jesus told me, Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me, He said, said, I'm calling you to bring a personal relationship, a reminder of a personal relationship with me. Every part of the Word of God that you see, I'm going to show you personal relationship. And while you're at it through that, I want you to take back every ground, every piece of ground that the devil has gained in lives illegally. I want you to take it back. I'm going to work through you, and you're going to destroy that ground that's been they've been deceived out of. So then here a while back when he began to talk to me again about fasting, I thought he's calling me on another fast. But he wasn't. He wanted to go in a little bit more in this. Ended up telling me, which, you know, I already knew some of it, but I listened, you know, when the Holy Spirit speaks, you listen. I hope. You know, he said, most people are disregarding, shortchanging what fasting. I want you to preach on it a little harder. I remember one night preaching on it so hard, people began to get their teeth filled with silver. Preaching on fasting. I said, did that have anything to do with it? Probably not. He just began to move because of the needs, the mercy, and the grace. His anointing was there for it. Fasting, a principle in the Word of God that you can begin to activate in your life along with prayer, worship, confession, that you can go farther into the plan of God for your life, good, acceptable, and perfect will, and that you won't be shortchanged just because you took time to begin to put the flesh down, begin to bring those emotions out and begin to change their direction, begin to get rid of that hidden thing that could pop up later, like deceitfulness of riches, self-exaltation, things that might cause you to leave the Lord your God and worship the God of this world. Stand to your feet, please. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer yourself a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and renewed in your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That faith, that grace that's been delivered to you, that you can find your function in the body of Christ and begin to walk into it. How about a little bit more fasting? How about a little bit more fasting along with some prayer? A lot of prayer and a little bit of fasting. A lot of worship before God. Confessing the Word of God that your mind will have something to be renewed and transformed into, instead of the word of the devil that you came out of when you were in the world. See, every principle in the Word of God is for you. Everything in the Word of God is for you to be able to walk farther into Him. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work it. All you have to do is begin to walk in it because you want to seek God, because you want to put down this flesh, put aside these emotions, that you can get to know Jesus, develop that personal relationship with Him to the fullest extent, that you can have the fullness of God in your life and everybody can see it. Bruce and Andrea, go ahead. All evening long, Jesus, You're so beautiful. Oh, You're so beautiful. Could we do that again, please? Folks, I want you to take this time.